Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. We're going to start with a couple of articles from AARP, the magazine. Now, this one is Real People, Kindness is in the Air. And it is about a Christmas event, but I figured that we could certainly use some happiness with us today, too. Christmas dreams come true. Twin girls sent lists to Santa via helium balloons. When Alvin Bamberg found one 650 miles away, he knew what he had to do. Alvin, someone up there wanted this to happen. Maybe it was Santa. Maybe someone even higher up. But this was no accident. Leticia Flores Gonzalez. Last year, I had been doing arts and crafts projects with my four-year-old twins, Luna and Gianella. In December, we were looking for a different way to get their notes to Santa. So we tied their wish list to balloons. I figured they would get caught up in the pine trees above our mobile home or would deflate in the cold air. Alvin. 2 days before Christmas, I'm riding on an ATV trail in Grand Cane, Louisiana, and noticed some red mylar tangled up in a fallen down tree. There's a yellow note. I open it and see the words, Dear Santa, and a list of four or five items, including a puppy. I call my wife and say, We've got to help. She puts a picture of the balloon on Facebook. And within 24 hours, we find the family in Liberal, Kansas, 650 miles away. By that time, lots of our family and our friends wanted to help fulfill the wishes. Leticia, my jaw dropped. I told the girls, I think one of Santa's elves found one of your balloons. Alvin, I knew it would light up the lives of those girls if somebody delivered what they asked for. Of course, I needed the mom's permission to get the puppy. Leticia, Alvin sent us toys and games for both girls, and we've stayed in touch with Alvin the Elf. That's what the girls call him. After a few months of getting to know each other, we all met up in Oklahoma City. Alvin and his wife stayed there with my parents. It was truly like a meeting of old friends. Alvin, they made us a feast of Mexican food, and we cooked them up some Louisiana sausage and gumbo. Oh, yeah, and we brought the girls that puppy, a little dappled dachshund that they named Max. Leticia, these were strangers, and now we're like family. It all shows the girls that there are genuinely good people on this earth. Alvin, finding that balloon opened something new in my life. It brought unexpected friendships at a time when there's so much hard stuff happening. It reminds me that if you're thinking about doing something nice, sometimes you've just got to do it. And there's two pictures with this article. One shows these two little girls, and one is holding the deflated balloon with the note attached, and the other one is holding the new puppy. And then there's a picture of Bamberg, where he found the balloon, and he's a real Santa looking person. He's got his Santa hat, he's got a bit of a mustache and a goatee, jeans and a casual shirt. One kind, happy looking person. Now, also in AARP the magazine, on a little more sober note, in the money saver section, inflation worries are in the air. What you need to know about the rising cost of living. And this is by Karen Hubie. Gas prices as of October were up 50% compared with a year ago. Used cars cost 26% more. Hamburger meat ran you 13% more than it did the previous fall. Americans are facing some of the steepest price increases in over a decade. Three-quarters of people retirement age say the rise in prices has hurt their finances, according to the financial website Bankrate. It's unnerving. Inflation, which is the rate of increase in overall prices, poses a major threat to your long-term financial security, eating away at the purchasing power of your dollar. But don't panic just yet. Instead, learn how to put current trends into perspective and how to limit inflation's impact on your finances. 1. The spike will likely settle. The standard measure of inflation in the U.S. is the Bureau of Labor Statistics Consumer Price Index, CPI, which tracks price changes on a basket of goods and services, including food, housing, energy, and health care. In October, the CPI was up 6.2% year over year, far above the average annual rate of 1.75% in the 10 years ending in 2020. Why the jump? Relaxed pandemic restrictions earlier in 2021 unleashed pent-up consumer spending, says Wade Faugh, professor of retirement income at the American College of Financial Services. Rising demand typically causes an uptick in prices. So do shortages of raw materials and transportation bottlenecks, which also emerged during the pandemic. The general expectation among economists last fall, subject, like all economic forecasts, to revision, was that the inflation rate will drift back down, probably starting in 2022. We expect that inflation is going to moderate over the medium term to something closer to our target of 2% over the next couple of years, said Charles Gaskin, senior economist at the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. While prices may not all come back down, they should generally stabilize. Pricing pressures tend to be easing this past summer. Month over month, CPI increases fell from a 0.9% rise in June to 0.3% in August, and then to 0.4% in September. But the inflation index then rose 0.9% in October, driven by higher prices for energy, shelter, food, and motor vehicles. 2. This inflation is different. In the late 1970s, as inflation soared, it peaked at over 14% in 1980, savers could park their money in relative safety and still keep up with rising prices. In January 1978, for example, when prices were up 6.8% over the previous year, you could get a 6.4% yield on a money market fund backed by bank certificates of deposit and short-term U.S. government debt. Yields on savings kept up with inflation. That's clearly not happening today. With savings accounts and six-month CDs paying a fraction of 1%. But why? The short answer, Gaskin explains, is that the factors driving inflation back then were different from those at work now. The longer answer? In the 1970s, he says, when a strong economy was driving a broad array of prices upward and inflation expectations were high, the Federal Reserve raised rates so that people had an incentive to save. The hope was that demand growth would slow, prices would stabilize, and inflation would subside. Because prices have been relatively stable over the past few decades, Gaskin adds, inflation expectations are lower, and the Fed's policymakers are working under the assumption that what's currently driving inflation is pandemic-related and temporary. For now, they see no need to rapidly raise short-term interest rates, which would raise savings account interest rates, but would also risk slowing jobs growth and the overall economy. Number 3. Smart spending can balance your budget. If you're planning a big cash outlay, consider waiting for prices to settle down, says Mark Zandi, chief of economist at Moody's Analytics. Delay spending on items that are experiencing a big spike in price, like a car, he notes. The same goes for home improvements. Prices for lumber and materials are still above normal, and labor costs are high. Selectivity at the grocery store is important, too. In October, overall food prices were up 5.3% over the prior year, but the per-item inflation rate had big variations. For example, prices soared more than 20% for steak and bacon, but just 6.8% for whole chickens. You have to change your day-to-day decisions to keep your food costs steady, Zandi said. 4. Social Security can help. The 2022 Cost of Living Adjustment, COLA, for Social Security, effective in January, is 5.9%. That adds $92 to the $1,565 monthly payment that the average retired worker would otherwise receive, an increase of about $1,100 per year. If you're receiving Social Security benefits, it's reasonable to expect that January's increase will help your income catch up to your expenses. The COLA is based on a slightly different measure of inflation that's running higher than the more closely tracked CPI, a separate government measure of inflation aligned to the spending of people 62 and up, indicates that costs for older Americans are rising at a slower rate than those other measures. Another good sign, Medicare forecasts that average drug plan premiums will rise less than 5% in 2022. And finally, number 5, you can protect against the long-term impact. If you have retirement savings, the key to keeping up with inflation, according to financial advisors, is to invest a good part of that money in the stock market. Nothing is ever guaranteed, and markets can fall precipitously. But the total return of the S&P 500, an index of most of the largest publicly traded U.S. companies, has averaged more than 10% per year since its 1957 launch, far exceeding the 3% average inflation rate. You can also fight inflation with U.S. savings bonds. If you buy a Series 1 bond before the end of April, you'll get a guaranteed rate of 7.12% for the first 6 months. The rate on your bond, linked to inflation, will reset up or down every 6 months. Electronic purchases of I-bonds are limited to $10,000 per person annually. Another anti-inflation tool, Treasury Inflation Protected Securities, or TIPS, has no such limit but has a lower effective yield. To learn more or to make a purchase, you can go to treasurydirect.gov. Assuming you have an adequate emergency fund in ready cash, James Regan, an advisor at Sharp Point in Phoenix, suggests a portfolio that's mainly a broadly diversified stock mutual fund plus a fixed income bond fund with an emphasis on TIPS. One investment that's likely less to protect you is gold, which is often pitched to nervous investors. Gold is not an inflation hedge, Regan says. An ounce of gold worth $1,860 in November was worth about $2,170 adjusted for inflation in 2011. If you bought gold 10 years ago, he says, you would be underwater today. This article was written by Karen Hubie, who is a veteran financial writer and a contributing editor for Barron's. Now moving on to the complete guide to heart health for folks over 50. Chill out. Some easy exercises can help diffuse stress and protect your ticker. Just when you thought life was going to calm down, midlife comes rushing in with new stresses. If you have older children, there may be the upheaval of an empty nest or an unplanned move back into the nest. You may be challenged to provide care for elderly parents or other relatives. And then there's the career realm, where more responsibilities or a job loss or a whole new paths can arise. Navigating these immense changes can increase levels of hormone flowing through your body that can negatively affect cholesterol, blood pressure, and blood sugar levels, and increase the risk of heart disease and arrhythmias. With 600,000 people dying every year from heart disease in the U.S. alone, protecting your heart from excessive stress is paramount, and easier than you think. The long and short of it, acute or brief stress can actually be good for you, according to data from the University of California in Berkeley. A team of researchers there have found that when lab rats were exposed to brief bursts of stress, 2 weeks later they had developed an abundance of new nerve cells in their brains. Stress from a challenge, the researchers pose it, helps keep the brain more alert and primed for success. Chronic stress, on the other hand, the kind that drags on for weeks, months, or years, think caring for a sick parent or enduring a rocky marriage, is a recipe for imbalanced hormones, poor mental health, a depleted immune system, and generally poorer health, including heart health, observes New York-based Jaya Jayamira, a mind-body wellness teacher, speaker, and author of The Soul of Purpose. Chronic stress also triggers behavioral changes that put you at greater risk of heart disease. According to Noel Bernie Mertz, MD, director of the Barbara Streisand Women's Heart Center and the Schmidt Heart Institute at Cedars-Sinai in Los Angeles, stress can lead to harmful coping mechanisms such as smoking, illicit drug use, unhealthy eating habits, poor sleep, and lack of exercise. Scientists are also exploring the connection between gut microbiota and stress, and the role they play in the progression or prevention of cardiovascular disease. Research has already found that having a healthy gut microbiome can alleviate stress. In fact, about 95% of the body's serotonin, a hormone that gives us a sense of well-being, is made by bacteria in our gut. How the gut microbiota are associated with issues like heart failure and atherosclerosis, a buildup in the artery walls, is still being researched, but is a promising area. Someday, a doctor may well prescribe a certain strain of probiotics to treat your high cholesterol. Pump the brakes. There are a variety of positive ways to deal with and process stress, including regular exercise, yoga, a gratitude practice, journaling, spending time with nature, volunteering, hanging out with friends, taking dance lessons, being creative, and more. The solutions differ from person to person, but they all have serious perks. So there's no harm in experimenting to see what works for you. Meditation and breath work, which can be done together or separately, are particularly powerful when it comes to stress relief and are instantly accessible. You don't have to make a date or dedicate an evening to it. Meditation, which is one type of mindfulness practice, helps you take a step back from yourself in stressful situations, like stepping out of turbulent waters and watching them go by, which helps you perceive and manage stress better. It can also reduce the negative emotions that lead to stress, like anger or fear. And it can increase your patience, tolerance, and creativity, too, giving you tools to manage stress in novel ways. While there are a multitude of meditation styles, including Zen meditation, Vipassana, a Buddhist insight meditation, loving-kindness, and transcendental meditation, a form of silent mantra meditation, it doesn't have to be complicated or rigorous. Myra likes to use a heart-related meditation with many of her clients. As you sit or are lying down, picture a blue and white light emanating out from the heart, filling every cell in the body with healing light. Continue to breathe, whether for 5 minutes or 30, focusing on that light and the sensations you feel around it. I've found it extremely effective at reducing stress and promoting calm and well-being, she says. Blue and white are healing, cooling troubles, colors, and even visualizing them in the body can help you relax and de-stress. Another great way to reduce stress is to lengthen, deepen, and slow down your breathing rate. This is precursor to any effective meditation and in and of itself can have a powerful impact on reducing stress and anxiety in people. Try this easy breathing exercise, which you can do when you're stuck in traffic. Just don't fall asleep. At work, or standing in line at the grocery store, anytime you need to come back into your body from your thoughts. Breathe in and out through your nose, if that's comfortable, several times, just letting yourself get centered and calm. Then gradually lengthen your inhales to 6 counts and exhales to 6 counts. Do 5 breaths like this, then continue, but this time pause for up to 2 or 3 counts after each exhale. So you inhale for 6, exhale for 6, and pause for 3. Do this 10 times, then come back to your rather regular breathing again. Finally, here's a meditation to help you enhance resiliency, which is your ability to recover after a setback, whether that's poor performance review or a divorce. A mantra, which is a word or phrase that you repeat over and over, is really a tool to help you focus and create awareness and intention. It can be as simple as the word strong or as concise as I am resilient. Use it when you start to feel life's stressors pulling at your strings, threatening to unravel you. Set a timer and find a comfortable seating position. Start to bring your awareness to your breath, just being aware of it, not trying to change it. Next, silently repeat the mantra, I am whole. On the inhale, say to yourself, I am. And on the exhale, say whole. Or substitute another comforting word or phrase of your choosing. Continue until the timer goes off. Then let go of the mantra and attention. Let your attention come back to your breath before you gently start to remove your fingers and toes, or to move your fingers and toes, and let your eyes drift open. You always have this ability to take a step back and be present, not worried about past wrongs or shortcomings or what might happen in the future. As psychologist and Buddhist meditation instructor Tara Brach says, the present is your refuge, an island in those roiling waters that you never have to leave. So today we're kind of combining this magazine with our meditation magazine. So I'm going to continue one more sidebar article from this one about your heart. Is stress ever good? When it comes to heart health, some types of stress are better than others. We all need stimulation and motivation. Purpose is essential for humans, explains Noel Berny-Mertz, MD. So the stress related to responsibility of family and job obligations can be good stress. Stress becomes harmful, Mertz says, when it's excessive, too much for that person, causing an overload. That's when even good stress, like being a parent or employee, can feel like too much to handle. Symptoms of excessive stress can include rapid heartbeat and high blood pressure, directly affecting the heart, as well as other physical woes like low energy, headaches, digestive troubles, and insomnia. Your perspective on stress can also have an influence on your health. In research published in 2019 in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, optimists live 10 to 15% longer than pessimists, and part of that may be tied to the fact that optimists handle or perceive stress better. For example, in another study conducted by positive psychology researcher Michelle Geland, optimists had 145 fewer days of financial stress each year than pessimists did. Were they simply raking in cash? No, the study says. Their stress levels were reduced because the optimist tends to seek progress over perfection, and felt less of a taboo about managing their money. Optimistic thinking empowers us during uncertain times, prompting us to take positive action steps. To reframe stress in more positive ways, Mertz suggests cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT. It's a form of talk therapy where a psychologist or therapist helps you recognize how your current thinking is creating problems for you and gives you tools to change course. Mertz says CBT, which is also used to treat insomnia and substance abuse, is effective in reducing harmful stress. Now, with the time we have left, I'm going back to AARP, the bulletin, and a group of articles we've been looking at recently, Artists in Waiting. These people discovered new creativity after retiring from more traditional careers. Want more evidence that your professional career need not define you after you move on? These retirees, among them a former lawyer, marketer, teacher, and therapist, have become successful artists who have had major gallery showings or won prestigious awards, or both, with their second act of self-expression. To them, creativity and the passion to express it were always there. They just lay dormant for the right time to emerge. So let's look at Michael Severin, who's 74. He's a contemporary impressionist painting artist from Sonora, California. He worked for the U.S. Postal Service for 36 years and started painting seriously only after retiring. It's a pursuit with real meaning. Quote, I hope my paintings will last forever. For me, my paintings are my footprints, that I was here at some point on this earth. And his paintings, showed a farm with a barn in the background and beautiful cloudy sky. Beautiful work. Let's look at Wasif Boutros Ghali, 96, an abstract painter from Cairo, Egypt. He's the brother of former UN Secretary General Boutros Ghali. He started drawing at a young age, but didn't initially pursue that passion because he belonged to a family that did not consider painting a profession, he says. Most of my family studied law, with the prospects of becoming involving themselves in the politics of Egypt. I did not see this as my path. Boutros Ghali worked in architecture and historic building restoration, but retired in his early 60s to paint in his studios in Connecticut and Cairo. Quote, my paintings reflect my architectural training, he says. Geometric precision with a sense of place. So, yes, his paintings are much more what we would consider modern, and lots of angles and to interesting colors and vague shapes. Chris Motley, 73, Fiber Art, San Francisco, learned to knit as a child. Now she creates sculptures from hand-knit fibers. Before I retired from a law career 14 years ago, I had started seeing knitting in three dimensions other than clothing, and I started selling neck pieces. Okay, folks, we've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. We are available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.